Hello and welcome to the TOVG podcast. My name is George Weedman. We also have Jimmy Belikoff, Matt Visual, and Kite Tails in here for you today. And we are here to tear the world asunder with this like top-notch, super professional video game talk and news coverage coming at you edited the day after.
Yeah, dude. Real hard-hitting stuff right there.
That's where we're at today. I apologize for my deadpan sense of dryness. I am so dry right now because I've been absolutely slammed with work. I don't know if I should announce the final the thing. One of the things that really has eaten up a lot of time is getting a passport this week. I don't necessarily want to say why until the plans are super duper finalized, because it's still kind of up in the air. But getting a passport, that takes some time and energy out of you.
Yep. Just mention that it's not to flee the country. And then you're set.
I'm fleeing the country by my own will. Not necessarily, which means it's not really much of a flee.
No,
I plan on visiting foreign land soon. I don't want to get anyone's hopes up, though. Not even my own, because like I said, it's still up in the air.
Right.
I did my taxes way too later than I should be. And as it turns out, doing taxes as a YouTuber who makes YouTube money is complicated.
Yeah, it's complicated, and I heard it sucks.
It takes a while. There's like pros and cons, I guess, if you look both ways. You technically get taxed more, but that's because you didn't get taxed earlier.
Yeah.
And you can also save more from being taxed more by deductions and business expenses.
Oh, well, yeah, because pretty much everything. Yeah, everything from a home business is pretty much a write-off.
You can deduct your room.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jimmy can, but... Because you got your big fancy office.
I mean, I don't work my personal channel out of there. And besides that, I made a grand total of like two meals worth of money off of my channel in the past 2 years. So
you don't even have to bother.
You've been tweeting that sushi, you know, that professional sushi. So
I didn't say
man.
They were like Taco Bell meals.
$0.99 tacos.
Well, I was very disappointed to find that doing those taxes took multiple days of much confusion and a little bit of a payment. It's the first time I've ever had to owe anything, which I'm okay with. But I'm just not as okay with how much time it took, because it's Thursday. I don't have a bunny hop out, and I might be able to get one out Saturday. But I have to stretch too, because I'm getting swamped by my day job right now. But that still does not mean I was not able to play video games last weekend. I was about to say this week, because like last weekend is technically part of it, because Sunday is a day of a new week that is also a weekend. But I spent all of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because I could see the storm coming on the horizon. I wanted to savor my time. I spent all of those days playing The Witcher 2. And
that's how you chose to savor your time?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
You hunt monsters,
Jimmy.
I thought I'd throw a zinger out there. I don't know anything about The Witcher.
It's a game about hunting monsters. You would love it. But, yeah, I really liked the first game. I don't think I should have. Like, I'm going back on Twitter and asking people what they remember of, and everyone was like, "No, George, you're full of shit. It was a bad game."
Damn.
And,
roasted.
Yeah, I know. I feel so roasted. But I remember a really weird combat system that I eventually got to used to and got to like. I remember a very weird translation that I eventually grew to like, because the characters were neat, the world was neat, the attitude and the tone of The Witcher is a little different and a little samey, so I kind of liked the weird gray area it hovered between. But in the sequel, it's like super duper hard to control and fight things and you know, hunt monsters. So
yeah.
I don't really know how I feel about it. I'm not that far in. I'm only one entire weekend of my life into what is supposed to be like an 80-hour RPG epic that you have to play through twice, because a decision that you make at the end of the first act completely changes the rest of the game. Like,
that's kind of
you
cool.
go to different towns in the rest of the game.
Wow.
Yeah, the first Witcher had some pretty extreme decision makings that determined whether or not towns would get blown up and characters would die, which drastically changed the story. But you still kind of like ran through the same dungeon and town hubs. Apparently in the second one, the mid-game town hub changes to a completely different city, depending on the choices you make. I don't know for sure, but some people on Twitter are like, yeah, you're going to have to play through it again because you'll miss out on a whole town if you do the thingy at the end of the thingy.
Yeah, I actually have a friend who's fairly like deep into that kind of game. He really likes The Witcher and The Witcher 2. And he plays a lot of like long form RPGs like that. And I don't know, he always talks very highly about both of them, but I've never really taken the time or money to get into either.
The first one is one of my favorite games ever. And I think a lot of it might just be nostalgia goggles, or at least like of that period. Like I remember playing Mass Effect and Dragon Age and The Witcher around the same time period. And I just remember like falling way more in love with the world and the music and the atmosphere of The Witcher. And also that it does a lot of cool things with choices and consequences that other RPGs kind of shy away from to have players ingest all of the content the developers work hard to. The Witcher's we're just going to throw that away for half the players who picked one of the two decisions. They're not going to see half of the shit we made, and for some reason they're cool with that, and I'm like, okay.
I kind of like that, though. I think that shows a bit more of a dedication to the artistry rather than to the marketability.
And I guess the labor, the sausage factory. There's less sausage factory than there is like the magic of giving every player a unique experience.
Right. I'm not completely familiar with the term sausage factory used in this context.
Yeah. It's you ever heard that before? You never heard something being referred to as
I've
a sausage
heard it
factory?
In a different sense.
Yeah, it's supposed to refer to like the
maybe
idealism
like
of like young
thing.
Maybe. I heard it in a political science class they were like, everyone loves politics until they learn how it's made. And it's the metaphor is that everyone loves sausage. It's a tasty, delicious treat until you find out the gross meatpacking process behind it all.
Oh, I see. Okay, that makes more sense to me now.
Yeah.
That's a sausage
So what have you guys been up to? Sorry, again, I apologize for my dryness today. I'm quite dry.
I'm a husk. Haven't been playing super a lot of video games. I played like a little bit of Monster Hunter this week. But like other than that, I don't think I've really played any games. Though, I did watch George's Bloodborne video about Bloodborne and Lovecraft, and then I was so like inspired by watching that video that I actually just sat down that night and for the first time ever I read through The Call of Cthulhu.
Oh, okay. What'd you think of it?
I was like blown away. It was
really
amazing. Yeah, like I felt like at the end of it I just got it. Like I was like, oh, that's why this is such a cult thing. Like that's why everybody is so like on this bandwagon is because it's actually really goddamn good.
I want to read some of his others because the ones that the commenters like unanimously recommend are ones I haven't read. I've done The Call of Cthulhu and Innsmouth and The Rat in the Walls and a lot of the shorter ones basically, but At the Mountains of Madness is his longest one. It's novella length, so even then it's still pretty short by like classical fiction standards.
Right.
But I'm surprised that you liked The Call of Cthulhu as much as it is. The reason why I recommended it to you actually is because it is like kind of a nice overview of the appeal, but like the actual character action going on, like the main character just kind of talks to people and reads things rather than engaging in the action itself, which is interesting.
I don't know. I found that almost like one of the most intriguing things about it.
And you kind of still are at the edge of the seat because it's detective work.
Right. But like, I think the thing that really got me the most was like, if I would have read The Call of Cthulhu by like, you know, contemporary writer, and if it was written like in 2000 or in 2010, I would just be like, oh, this is a pretty good, like, this is a neat, like, you know, original story. Like, it's good. But the fact that it was written in 1926 just kind of blows me away. There's like a whole like level of like I don't know. I don't even know what to call it. There's this creativity that doesn't even exist in a lot of works
today. It was kind of written in a, well, the world was a bigger place back then.
Yeah.
It took more than 16 hours to go from Georgia to Scandinavia.
Right.
And, you know, if you wanted to get to the other side of the United States, you might have to dedicate like a month or so to the, well, maybe not, maybe like a week. You had to ride a train, whatever. Anyways, actually, I've done that. It takes about 3 whole days to ride a train from one end to the other. Okay, well, point is, there were still mysteries, and so he could kind of get away with talking about an indigenous cult in the Philippines that actually exists, that actually is a real group of people. It's not the Philippines. I don't know the exact location. There's one tribe he talks about called the Kanakis that actually exists, that like really are people on planet Earth that are called the Kanakis. And but in the Cthulhu mythos, they worship Cthulhu, and then they breed with fish people, and you can kind of the horror that the reader was meant to get from it was kind of the possibility of that existing was probably more higher and easily believable back when you couldn't see the whole planet from outer space in one picture.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I get that definitely makes sense, but I guess it was just the part. I mean, I guess spoilers for this 80-year-old piece of diction, but the part where he's describing when the guys who like fought against that yacht and then stole it and then got to the island or the city of Rilie, however you're supposed to pronounce that, how like the geometry is all like doesn't work, and like how like they couldn't tell if this door was vertical or horizontal.
He's really good at like describing things that are indescribable, and that's like the whole gimmick.
I just liked it because it was such an interesting thing, being like, that's why there's no good adaptation of this. Mm-hmm. Nobody could make this. You can't like visually represent this thing that he's describing as indescribable. I don't know. It was like a lot of that just pulled me in, and I was very, very impressed when
there are some that are better than others, but I haven't seen like a book or a movie really nail it. Like, I guess a big part of it is never being able to see the monsters, because even though the characters describe the monsters, they still get driven insane by it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 2007 movie that actually I felt did a pretty good job of porting it over to modern times. It isn't period piece. Yeah, it stars a college professor who moves away from his weirdo family in New England that worships fish gods, and then has to come back for an awkward family dinner with them. But then when he goes to bed at night, they like raise the sea gods and society goes crazy, and it kind of looks like a zombie apocalypse movie, except there are no zombies anywhere. There's just kind of like piles of corpses on the beach. It's really creepy. I loved it.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. What movie is that?
I think it's just called The Call of Cthulhu. Hang on, I'm going to look it up.
Really?
It was 2007, so that's how you would know. It would be like The Call of Cthulhu 2007 in parentheses.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like the Sonic 06 of Call of Cthulhu movies.
Except
Cthulhu
it's 07. Actually kind of good.
Okay, fair enough.
I looked it up. It is just called Cthulhu.
Oh,
and then
okay,
in parentheses, well, even 2007 film.
So it is Cthulhu 07.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, I'll just finish that train of thought before we get too far from video games by saying Mountains of Madness is the most recommended one to me, so I'm probably going to try that next.
Mm-hmm. I got to do that someday.
Anyway, but what about actual video games? I mean, like I said, I played Monster Hunter for an hour, so that's it.
But then you actually read a book, which is great.
I mean, I read a website that had the book on
it. Well, same thing.
So what about
GTA 5 for a little bit yesterday?
Oh,
yeah,
the PC version.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God!
Is there another version?
Someone told me I was going to hell for it.
It's not Christian.
Well, I was like, okay,
who said
I'm
that?
A Christian, and that like I wouldn't say that to somebody. And the guy who said it to me was also a Christian, so I told him that. I'm like, hey, you're a Christian, you can't joke about that. He's like, yeah, well, the game's about stealing.
I usually don't even get into
arguments like this on tour, but since I knew the guy, I kind of was like, all right, let's see where this is going.
Oh, no.
Don't worry, I'm in the same position.
I was gone there.
I was showing my mom the house, and I have this humongous poster of PS4 Grand Theft Auto that I won from GameStop picking up a pre-order, right?
With the Kate Upton look-alike.
Right. And I was thinking about putting my face over the girl because, you know, obviously the girl has a low cut top, and I didn't do it yet. So when I was showing her the house on Skype, she was like, is that Grand Theft Auto? And I'm like, yeah, this is something I want. You know, I try to change the subject as fast as possible.
What's she's, Grand Theft Auto?
There's people who play games and they understand, you know, what Grand Theft Auto is and games in general. And there's people who listen to the media and they get really confused. And whatever they see on the media, it's true, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I trust
me.
Not
even like the media anymore. Just people who don't like the game trying to, well, this is what it's about. So you should eat it too. Do you know what I did last night? Seriously. I drove around the city and I spent like an hour in character creation. I don't think a lot of people have a good concept of, I don't know. That's kind of annoying.
Yeah, I coming from like a super conservative family and community, I know all about that, like, you need to get off those video games before your soul goes to hell.
Yeah, I'm just like,
not so much at those words, but that was definitely what, like, the gist of what I was being told a lot when I was younger.
Right.
And now I get to silently look back at those people and silently flip them off as I make my career out of video games.
That'll teach him.
I'm not flipping him off. No hard feelings for that, but some people get into this weird... I don't know what to call it. Like, they put the blinders on and they don't like accept any other like evidence past like what they heard on Fox News.
Yeah, I think it's like an unwillingness to, like, I don't know. Like, for me personally, so I tried Bloodborne for a little bit and I really didn't like it, but I didn't really like Dark Souls either. It's just not my type of game. I hated just the fact of having to start over. And everyone's trying to explain to me, like, well, you start over in any game you play. You go back to the checkpoint. But I don't know. I didn't really like it. But so I would never publicly, like, write a review about it saying that I didn't like it or that it was terrible, because I don't think I had a honest understanding or experience of it. I don't know. I just wish other people would do that, too.
Get something.
Yeah. I played it for about 30 minutes. I don't think that's a fair representation of what the game is, or that I have a right to really, like, talk about it seriously. I can say for the little I played about it, I didn't really enjoy it. But I don't know. It seems like people are really quick to just jump the gun on kind of naysaying
stuff. Well, that's
because
you had the wrong opinions on the internet.
You can't do that. Right opinions.
do you assemble a consensus off of what the various forums of your choice seem to agree on, and then pander to those opinions only forever.
That's so bogus.
That's how you win at the internet. No, never change their mind. They don't want that.
It's too complicated.
I always found that really annoying when I make a video on something that's like, even slightly, I'm like, this is a good game, and it's like a game that most people think is dumb. Like, I think I said that about, I think I like did the ultimate like two for two, because I said that Call of Duty Zombies was good in a video about Five Nights at Freddy's being good.
Oh, I thought you were going to bring Gone Home in there somewhere.
No, but that, I mean, that game is also good, but it was just funny because, like, you just get that so quickly. Like, people don't want to be told that Call of Duty is good. They're so comfortable and happy with being like, oh yeah, it's the shitty game.
And
but
how,
like, it's not,
yeah,
it's not that bad.
How,
it's
like, ironic is that like that those negative feelings are comfortable and happy.
Yeah,
I don't know. It seems really creepy to me.
What bothers me is when those opinions are not, like, they haven't played the game at all. They're just following what their favorite YouTuber or favorite person is saying. That's what annoys me. Now, if you have your opinion, if you played it, and you have your opinion about it, then that's fine. But
oh yeah,
like
and
play,
even then, like you know? there's a difference between like making up your mind about something without playing it or knowing what you're talking about, but then also like giving it a shot and then just honestly admitting to yourself that you don't get it. Like yeah. like yeah. Kite with mm-hmm. Dark Souls, like I played the Titan Souls demo this week, which I was really excited about. And then I got to the demo and I got really, really frustrated and sad. And I was going to review it and I had to completely change my plans because I was like, no, I just like found out in a 30-minute span that this was totally not for me. And and maybe I'd just be better off not saying stupid things about it.
Right. Yeah, see, that's my biggest fear is saying something after having played it for such a little amount of time and then having that completely disregarded playing the game further. Like for Rayman Legends, I don't know if you guys played it.
Yeah,
I beat it. Me and Matt had a romantic night over that game.
Oh yeah, we sure did. Yeah.
So you know, right after I beat him at Dive Kick.
Nice.
We're bringing that up again.
Guys, let's not go here again.
Go ahead, Kite.
So the music levels in Rayman Legends was really fun. And someone was complaining that this game would be nice, but there aren't enough levels like this, and therefore it's not that creative. Oh. But obviously they didn't play it enough because the very last segment is nothing but those music levels. It was like 10 in a row or something that. And I thought, this is why I don't like to make decisions without having fully experienced whatever it is I'm going to be talking about, just because I don't want to come off as uninformed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's funny because we talked about this before. A lot of reviewers, big reviewers, like from websites, have reviewed games without playing them all the way.
Or and playing them the way they're meant to be played. If you go back and watch my Dive Kick review... It's a load of shit.
It's Dive Kick. That's something totally different.
I hated that until I played it with you, and then it became my favorite thing for a week. And that was like a year after I made an actual review on YouTube about it. And I played it for like 20 hours that week, but I did it by myself. I tried it with some friends who did not like fighting games and didn't get into the trash talk and the competitive spirit of it. But once I tried it with someone who was on the opposite end of that spectrum, it was, whoa, all of a sudden I got it.
Yeah. Hmm.
Everything is better with smack talk, man. Everything.
Yeah,
is.
It's funny. It's funny that you mentioned that because like you guys probably know that I'm a huge fan of Dust Force, which isn't like the most popular game in the world.
So good.
And like, I think a contributing reason to that, I was actually talking with like a notable person in the Dust Force community who like is very good at the game, has clocked like 1500 hours in it at least, is that like it's not a game that is designed to be reviewable on like a regular scale. Like you have to put like 500 hours into that game before you like really get it to the point where you can say with like certainty that you understand what the draw of the game is. And like, no, obviously no reviewer is going to put like 100, 200 hours into a game to review it. That's like, it's just not viable.
I have come close, my friend.
Well, okay. There's a difference between like beating a game, like an RPG game, like Pillars of Eternity, and like the kind of 200 hours that Dust Force requires. And he actually like wrote out this big, long, like kind of like an essay about why Dust Force is like not reviewable. Like, and it's very interesting. I read through it and it kind of brought up an interesting point where like, you know, I've watched reviews of Dust Force that did like 6-7 hours of the game, and it's like, okay, you get it, like
can,
at a base
level. Can you
level.
Even get to the like intended first ending or what? How does Dust
no,
Force
you
end anyway?
Dust Force ends with the hardest motherfucking levels of platformers that you will probably ever play.
But it feels so good though, and the soundtrack keeps you going.
Oh, it does. But the thing is, like, there's a difference between, like, oh, I played through the forest, the city, the mansion, and the lab, and I've SS'd every level. Like, those are, like, hundreds of hours apart, and it's just, like, such a different experience afterwards. You feel like a war veteran once you've done that second part, but, like, I don't know. It's very interesting. Just kind of lends itself to this conversation, I guess, is why I brought it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well... I guess I'll go next. I've been playing Grand Theft Auto 5, so it's interesting that you said that, Kite. I'm playing Grand Theft Auto 5, and of course, Jimmy's favorite. I went to the store, and got Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Cool. Wow. Yeah. Now I'm further left in the dust.
Man, I started character creation on Monster Hunter, and then my 3DS died.
Oh,
and then
no.
I just never. I just need to go back. I know it's terrible. I just need to plug it in and go play it.
Right, you need to do that.
So
I will say that I'm always going to be adamant on that. The first 5 or so hours of the game are not going to be pleasant, but after that, it's going to be great.
Matt, how much Monster Hunter have you played in the past? And if you were able to get over those hurdles that Jimmy keeps talking about.
All right. Well, okay. This is my experience.
Yes, yes.
I got the new 3DS, right? So I have the C-Stick, so I don't have, you know, I can move the camera and everything. A lot of people were complaining about the camera on Twitter when I was asking everyone. I got a flood of messages saying, get Monster Hunter instead of Majora's Mask. Because I could play Majora's Mask, I could borrow it from anybody, you know, it didn't matter. So I got that. I never played Monster Hunter before. I jumped in, and other than the egg quests, It's actually pretty damn fun. It's like boss fights all the time, and all the boss fights are different. And it just feels like when you're playing Dark. I mean, it's not as hard as Dark Souls. It's definitely not as hard as Dark Souls. I haven't really died at all. I don't think I ever yet. And I'm only like 15 hours in the game.
Right.
You haven't even finished the tutorial yet.
Yeah. I'm only 15 hours in. I played online. I'm in the second island. I'm grinding some stuff out. Well, I can see what you mean when, I guess later on it gets to the grinding point when you keep killing the same monsters and you keep learning their tactics. But right now, going through the story and the story is whatever. It's there.
it's a silly story. Yeah, it's they're not known for their story.
Right. But as for the combat, the different weapons, right now I'm using the charge blade. I want to try out the insect one, whatever that thing is. The weapons are cool. I mean, the combos are satisfying when you hit a monster, especially when don't you know the feeling when you're playing Dark Souls and you see a boss and you're like, okay, I'm going to sit back and just kind of look, what are they doing? Okay, where's my opportunity to attack? Okay, what can I do here? What can I do? And that's how you kind of feel. And every boss battle is like that. I'm like, every boss battle, there's a guy that starts running up the walls. And you're like, hold up, what? And then there's a guy who flies all of a sudden because it starts real small. And all of a sudden, it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. And you find weak spots. You find easier way to kill. The next time you fight the boss, you're like, yeah, I got this now. You can, and it's not just when it's not just like, oh, you're killing a monster, but you can break off pieces of the monster for like weapons and armor. You can there's certain percentages for a good thing to drop, you were telling me last week. There's lots of little stuff in there, and learning the weapons to become more, I guess, fluent, more relaxed, more familiar with the weapons, especially when you pick one and you really learn their combos. Oh my gosh, you feel so cool. You paralyze the monster and you just go ham, okay? You just go ham. And I go ham with the axe, with the charge blade axe. Oh gosh, that combo. Yeah.
That sounds so far up my alley.
It's so satisfying. It's very satisfying.
Especially when you jump on a monster.
Oh, yeah, the mounting mechanic.
Just wait till you get the tutorial for that.
It's actually funny. It's not super secret. I tweeted about it, but I was on Hot Pepper Gaming this past Sunday. Again, for the second time around, and I reviewed Monster Hunter 4, and so I'm excited for that to eventually come to light. It was the toughest thing that I've ever had to do. Put my last pepper to shame.
Yeah. What? You guys.
I ate a hot pepper as well.
George.
Yeah, Matt had a video about erections that he couldn't handle.
George. Okay. First of all, Matt ate habanero, so I'll give you that one. Matt's a little sensitive. George, I ate a dried ghost pepper.
Whoa. Oh,
was this your first one or your second one?
Second ghost pepper?
What was your first the pepper for
my
your first
one
review?
Was a red Savina, which is like about twice as hot as a habanero, and ghost pepper is about twice as hot as the red Savina.
Well, I guess we'll see how we do at SGC then.
What's that supposed to mean? Is there going to be a hot pepper thing?
I don't know. There might be. But, you know, if there isn't, we're going to make one.
Oh, please no. Oh, no. Let me just say that dried ghost pepper is like eating bark. And then as soon as you swallow it, it explodes. And I hated it.
Whoa, that sounds terrible.
It was that sounds pretty fine. Bad. No.
No, that sounds okay. No,
it was not good.
Sounds like an 8.8.
All right. How about what this happens then? You're going to do another hot pepper gaming.
Okay.
And you're going to do a dried ghost pepper.
Fine.
I've heard goddamn people going into seizures after eating peppers that were too hot.
Well, I mean.
Someone better be by my side.
You
then.
Lose yourself.
Yeah, don't eat it alone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm saying like on sure a hot pepper gaming.
I'll get ready
episode.
To catch Jimmy.
Just like eat it with a friend.
Right.
Milk doesn't help. System. I don't know what you guys are talking about with the milk, okay? The milk does not help.
No, it's a chemical reaction. It neutralizes acid.
The milk,
yeah.
Okay.
You have to keep
you're
it in your mouth.
To,
you have to wait.
Yeah, you have to let it sit. The mm-hmm. point is when it's on the burn doesn't feel like anything. So you have to like take a small sip, like savor the milk, enjoy the milk.
It maybe.
And then as soon as you swallow it, it's lava all over your mouth all over again.
As soon as you're done with that sip of milk, all the pain returns.
So then you just get another and just like keep it for half an hour or so. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I've never been in a state of pain like that, that you just kind of like you lose your mind. You know, it's just like, okay, I just need this.
I seriously don't even know what this sensation is like.
Did you get the hand tingling, like the hand numbing?
What?
No, it was just, it was,
what?
No.
You just, felt that's it a, that's a thing. In your hands?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
come on.
From what I've heard about it, it's the body's reaction to that much pain all at once is to like try and shut down certain parts of your body so they don't feel the pain.
That's why you lie in the fetal position.
Oh my God. I still,
I think you got a dud. I think you just got a dud pepper.
I don't know. I dipped that pepper in Mitt Romney sauce.
I mean, we all know Mitt Romney's pretty bland, okay? Couldn't have been that hot.
I don't know what type of habanero it was, but I don't know, man. Those things look like dragon crystals. And I ate one while reading 50 Shades of Grey. That was my video. Yeah. And
I think that's the one I had. The pepper, not the book.
When I ate it, I drank so much milk after that that I vomited up the whole pepper.
Oh, no.
I felt way better after that.
I mean, I'm just going to be honest.
Vomiting is
that's
so
probably,
nice.
That's probably the best possible way for you that you could have ended that.
You know,
because then you don't have the hot pepper in repercussions later.
Yeah.
Have you guys noticed how, like, when you were a kid and you were sick, vomiting was the worst?
Yep.
But then, like, I can't help but notice ever since throughout my time as an adult, vomiting has been quite pleasant. Because you know, well, once you're done, you like that post vomit feel is so good. It's so good. Yeah.
Whoa!
You immediately feel better than you did before.
The way you said it was a little ridiculous, but I know what you're saying. That,
someone's
like,
going to email you after this. I know exactly how you feel.
Oh, want to meet up?
I've been looking for someone like you all my life.
I can invite them over for Smash Nights and we can get really drunk.
Oh,
Smash Nights, is
Smash
that what
Nights
you call
have
it?
A whole new meeting. Oh my god.
Shut up.
I don't want to be
but no,
there.
Like,
don't
you know what I'm
me.
Talking about though, right? Like you can spend the whole day sick, but the minute after vomiting, you're good again.
Yeah.
Like it works better than any
you
medicine.
Get whatever it is out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly too.
Right.
Unless
you don't have to wait
knows.
For shit.
Oh gosh. I've never seen
oh,
that.
No.
That's tight.
Yeah. I mean, you've never seen vomit come out of someone's nose?
I mean, no.
That's
I have
not
experienced
normal.
That, and it's not something that I would like to recall
wait, you have.
Very
yeah,
often.
So,
I would mistake it for brains.
Oh my god.
Wow, this podcast is just disgusting.
Well, yeah, welcome to the That One Video
Game
podcast
of freaking
where we talk
pigtails.
About...
She has like this super duper cute YouTube channel, but then whenever she's on the podcast, she talks about people's legs getting impaled by skis. And you go to her stream and she's playing the sinful, dirty Grand Theft Autos.
Yep. Welcome to the TOVG podcast where we talk about 1920s literature and vomiting.
Vomiting's way better than 1920s literature.
Hey, you take that back. Call of Cthulhu is pretty good.
This is fun.
Yeah, oh gosh.
Cool.
I think if you're all still with us.
If you're all still with us.
Just hang in there for about a minute or so. We're going to go to commercials
just
and come
back with
some news.
Just pull your hair back
and
let it happen.
Nothing about bodily functions after the break.
You'll feel better as soon as it's over.
Nice.
God damn it.
We believe there are 5 perpetrators.
I've never seen anything like it. There's fruit everywhere. Look what they did to my taxi.
Donkey Kong is back in an adventure so big, it's taking the country by storm.
In reaction, the governor has called in additional troops.
We believe one of them looks like this.
Not civilized.
We urge caution, and they are heavily armed with fruit.
I'd like to tell you the situation is under control, but it isn't.
This turbocharged game has better graphics, more moves, bigger bosses, huge worlds. It's so big we included an expansion pack to get it all in.
They didn't even tip me!
And now, this.
Donkey Kong 64, and you thought insanity was crazy.
Heaven help us all.
Welcome back. We just had a very, very quick break just then to kind of refresh ourselves, kind of let mm-hmm. the bad out, and so we can spend the rest of the day letting the good in, you know. As soon as that's over, you know you're back in the action, you're back in the
George,
game. You can
George,
compare it to
get
just,
into news.
Okay, fine.
George.
Fine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm one of the few people who enjoys vomiting.
Okay,
well, it's more
let's
like
go.
What it represents than the actual act.
Oh, so Deus Ex: Mankind Divided was announced. Take it away, George.
The internet went crazy about it. So we got a Deus Ex sequel coming out sometime later this year or next year. They have not revealed a release date, as far as I know, unless you guys might have heard something more recent. Nope. We are going to be playing a direct sequel to Human Revolution. We're going to be Adam Jensen once again. He's still kind of whispering into the microphone from Elias to folks about really dramatic things, about how humanity doesn't deserve what it deserves and stuff. The art style is very similar to Human Revolution. The themes are very similar. It's all about augmented people being persecuted. Oh no, boo-hoo, I'm so sad for the people who have like super robot arms. This is something I never really got about the whole like X-Men persecution complex. Wouldn't it feel awesome to have superpowers? Maybe that's just me.
I will say, if anything, I'm looking at this screenshot, the like announcement screenshot, where it's like Adam Jensen standing in front of this like broken series of what is that, fluorescent lights that make like angel
or
wings
like
behind
Android
him.
Pods. Yeah,
I
back
don't know
with
what
the
they
Icarus
are.
Imagery, like in the trailers for HR.
It's like, it's pretty clever. I like that.
I like
it's a,
that.
A little,
well, okay.
A little forward,
the,
but I like it.
It is clever. The trailer, it was just kind of a fight scene with dramatic music behind it, but
right.
They got the same team behind them from the last game, same composer. Uh-huh. It looks the same, same character, which is like fine. Cause right. Human Revolution was a fine game. I just, I guess the one reason why the internet's going nuts about it and I'm not is cause I expected a little more creativity out of a series like Deus Ex 2, where every new game has had a new character with a style that looks considerably different from the previous one. This is like the first time I've seen a sequel this direct since like the Fall, the cell phone game that was also a direct sequel to Human Revolution.
Right. I'm watching the trailer right now. It looks
it's a fight scene.
I mean, it looks all right.
It's a fight scene trailer.
It's a cool fight scene. I'm not gonna lie, it's cool.
There's a big muscly villain.
He did a thing where his wrist shot something. Yeah, I don't know.
They do cool guy robot things.
It's being safe, you know. You know, yeah. not every company can be like, you know, From Software, where they can name something Bloodborne when it's Dark Souls. But.
Well, I don't know about Bloodborne being anything but safe.
We talked about that last week about how
they renamed it and everything. No, word of mouth, you know, it's like, oh, that's the new From Software game.
Word of mouth, and also the big thing across the front of the preview that was like, from Hidetake Miyazaki, the creator of Dark Souls.
Right,
all the randoms that walk in the store, like, oh yeah.
Well, they do see the giant poster in the poster. Like, I'm not gonna...
When I was in GameStop getting Bloodborne, the guys in front of me, they were pre-ordering Bloodborne and also Mortal Kombat.
Wow. Mm.
And like, that's the bridge Bloodborne manages to divide there. Wow. And I'm like someone who doesn't care about Mortal Kombat but loves Bloodborne. So, it works. Like, whatever they're doing to market it kind of worked. It's actually... Yeah. I didn't put this on the news docket, but it's doing really well, too.
Bloodborne?
Yeah, I think they hit a million a couple days before the podcast. Actually, I'm going to look that up real quick. Wait, no, we need to talk about Deus Ex. So yeah, I got in an argument about this with
oh,
one
really?
Of my Steam friends, who said that Deus Ex Invisible Warfare was also a direct sequel because J.C. Denton was in it. But no, J.C. Denton was only like 2% of the final ending of Deus Ex Human Revolution, which took place 50 years after the previous game in the universe. So they were different. They were kind of different.
Yeah.
That's the voice you give your friends, George? How do I sound?
Kind of stuck on
no,
that.
No, that was my voice. Yeah, that was me defending how different it was.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying, I don't really care about Deus Ex, so...
Oh, man, you're missing
that's
out.
That's why I'm not super, why like, don't you play, involved.
I never hear you talk about warpages.
What?
Western RPGs.
I liked
it. What about
it?
Them?
I don't know. Like, I feel like it wasn't the best thing ever, but I did enjoy it. I did the game. It felt kind of... I don't know. The level design for the areas just didn't feel right with me.
Which Deus Ex?
The Human Revolution.
Yeah. Oh.
It felt kind of, you know, like... linear. I don't know if linear is the way to say it, but it just felt kind of boring, the world. Except for like the story parts and whatever. At least here you have some color. You know, we have some green there. You know, the crates. We got a little bit of yellow going on, a little bit of blue.
The primary choice is still gold yellow, though, which was like characteristic of the last game as well. Which it's fine. It's just like it seems safe, even though it may not be. Like, there's still a lot of room in the canon for them to bridge HR to Deus Ex 1, because HR was technically a prequel. But it's just out of this series, every time a new Deus Ex game has been announced, it's been a new character and a new part of the timeline with if not a considerably changed visual style, then a mildly changed visual style.
Right.
So it's kind of breaking that momentum.
I don't know. I mean, like, I have no, like, Deus Ex. Like, I'm not thinking of it like that. I just am not interested in the series very much. So this looked cool. The trailer was a neat fight scene. There was a lot of blood. That guy stabbed a lot of people.
Wow. Is that what makes it a good trailer?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, that was part of the trailer. There was a lot of blood, and he stabbed a lot of people. Other than that, it's a pretty good looking trailer.
I think,
I don't know.
My favorite tweet about it was someone who said, Deus Ex is back and he's ready for more adventures. I was like, nailed my ennui. So yeah, I guess besides that, we also got a lot of new announcements this week, actually. Mm-hmm. One of which is something Jimmy doesn't want to talk much about, but is still kind of relevant to video games.
There's a certain part that I don't want to talk about.
There's a Star Wars movie coming out, and there's a Star Wars game coming out. And it's the movie that Jimmy is going to try his darndest to black out up until release.
I've only watched the one trailer that was from a few months ago, and I'm not going to watch any more trailers, and I'm not going to look up any more information, and I don't care about pictures from the set or anything. I already know that I'm going to see it, and that's all I need to know. So then I'll go in and I'll see it, and I'll get the complete surprise and blind viewing of this movie.
And I totally envy that experience. That's how I want to do things, really. Deep down inside, in the bottom of my heart, I would love it if I could kind of neglect the media circus behind everything and come into experiences with a raw blank slate of expectations.
Yeah, but I watched trailers for like 10 seconds.
Double for all of you guys.
Thanks. Really appreciate it.
So we can't really talk about spoilers for the movie, but they are doing a new Battlefront game from EA and DICE. Yay, which some people are happy about.
I am.
I'm assuming you're not one of those people.
No, I am. Don't
get
me wrong.
Tone of voice.
I'm just dried up from a hectic week, that's all. Like, I had fun with Battlefront 2. I had fun with the first one, too. I didn't play it as much as I did the second one. But I think, like, a lot of people, they kind of have a nostalgia for these games that I don't know if I quite share. Because I was still, like,
I definitely do.
Kind of late into my years when, I don't know, I was like, second year in college, I think, when I finally got around to...
I was
an old,
man.
Dried up prune.
Shoved up prune.
I had to cash my Medicare checks for video games.
Whoa.
I definitely have a big nostalgia factor with the Battlefront games because my middle brother had a PlayStation 2, and we would often play either like some like hack and slash like gauntlet style EverQuest game or we would play Battlefront, and we played lots of Battlefront. Like, I know that game inside and out. We played it to the point where we had to like make up our own games for it. Like, we had one where we would go on that Kashyyyk level where you're one of the spawns is like on those big platforms up top, and there's like a waterfront where the droids come from. And we would sit in our base and we would kill all of our allies with rocket launchers
just 'cause.
Until it was just like 8 lives. And then, because then at like 8 or 16, like computer allies stop spawning to give you enough lives to die with. Mm-hmm. And so we would do that until it was just us. And then we would play like snipers only. And we would just try and like King of the Hill while all the other like bad guys would try and like bum rush us up the like walkways to get up there. It was pretty fun.
Snipers
but like we just
only,
like made that game up.
Kashyyyk Towers, Final Destination, 8 lives only.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much what it was.
You know,
but yeah,
thinking
like,
back on it, those games were kind of a technological feat too, with how many droids they managed to cram onto one screen.
Yeah,
it was ruthless.
I think there was like
the slaughter was never
like
ending.
20 people spawned on each side at one time, or maybe I'm making that number up.
Which for the time,
I think it was 16
great.
Or something. Yeah, like it
on,
was
on
it,
consoles too.
Like it was kind of like the like Battlefield, like, oh, big fights of a million people. But before that, obviously you couldn't play all humans. It was a lot of computers, but their AI was pretty good. I don't know. I really like those games.
And when you did manage to get it on the internet and play with other people, there was this really cool dynamic where there was so many AI opponents on the battlefield that you could tell which one was the human.
Right.
And it was kind of like. In the movies when they slash through hundreds of robot mooks, but then hit the one Jedi that they have to wake up and pay attention to in the middle of this chaotic battlefield. It was a surprisingly well done approximation of those kinds of battles on hardware that might not have been well suited for it.
Yeah, definitely.
But
I don't know. I'm very excited for this next installment. I hope it involves some of the mechanics that were in 2, because there was like this system of progression where if you used enough of one weapon to get enough kills, then you would get like the badge version of that weapon or something, or like the metal version. I don't know, but like you would essentially get like, oh, if you use the pistol that everyone has to kill enough people, then you get like a pistol that's like almost part sniper. Like it has like a mini zoom and does a little bit more damage and it shoots faster. And so it was like a cool like badge of honor for playing the game enough, you know?
Well, maybe if all things go to plan, then all of your fantasies will become reality tomorrow.
God damn it.
I absolutely love this teaser webpage they have set up with the countdown timer for a trailer releasing tomorrow. And the tagline is fantasy becomes reality tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
I mean,
it's so great.
As excited I am about the game, that sounds like the tagline to like a like Disney Vault reveal.
They're re-releasing Song of the South. Fantasy becomes reality. No.
George.
You just said the Disney Vault release.
George. That is not in the Disney Vault. That's like in the Disney furnace.
It's like way, way back of the vault. So anyway,
don't forget the Disney Vault.
Is there anything left in the Disney Vault?
I don't even know, but I don't like it.
I don't know how Disney politics work.
You can't just withhold stuff in some fake vault that doesn't exist.
Nah, dude, it's real. The Disney vault's like Gringotts.
Like, oh, you better buy Cinderella now because it's going in the vault. Who knows when it'll come out? Yeah, I know. When your sales go down, that's when it comes out. Just forget that.
I sincerely imagine that the Disney Vault is like the IRL version of Gringotts from Harry Potter. Because
I
it's
would
just
love
like
that.
That's the only thing that I feel is like dramatic enough for their tastes.
They would go overboard.
Mm.
So speaking of drama.
Oh, okay.
That was a stretch. Yeah, speaking of, I guess, kind of large heartless corporations being dramatic. Well, I don't know. This is like par for the course now. Nintendo has issued a takedown notice for a Super Mario 64 fan remake.
Yeah.
This was going to be a fan remake. Well, I guess the going has always been slow on this thing. I've seen video updates for a year, but apparently now he had a playable build that was a Bomb on Battlefield level recreation with an HD version of Mario. It was made in Unity. It could have quite easily been ported. Well, there's some speculation from the creator, Eric Ross, about how it might not have been a good idea for them to let an easily portable version of Mario stand when getting ready to make cell phone games, which I can't tell if he's like being genuine or giving them a jab or whatnot. But it has been taken down. This build was apparently up on his website and some mirrors elsewhere. And Nintendo was like, no.
Square Enix did that with Chrono Trigger years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah, it's like, this happens a lot. People aren't even mad about it anymore.
I mean, the thing is, though, like with Mario, I can see because it's still... He's the face
relevant.
Of Nintendo. Yes, he's relevant. Mm-hmm. He's used in everything.
Yeah.
So,
as opposed to a dead IP.
I can kind of understand. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Like...
What I would do if I was the guy is just like reskin it.
Yeah.
Oh, so, man. That reminds me.
Glario 64.
Well, Glario. What about like Kaizu Mario and all those other mods that are, you know.
Well, that's not the game one for one. And also, those aren't as well. Okay. I don't know. I don't know about this Super Mario 64 remake, but ROM hacks are largely just like, this is like a thing I made, have it. And it's not the game, like, it's not the actual game. You're not going to get the same experience that you get from buying Super Mario World that you will from playing Kaizo.
Okay.
You know.
I guess there's so many hoops that you have to jump through to get something like that set up that Nintendo doesn't even bother.
Like, the Pokemon MMO keeps getting shut down every time I get on to play those things. I miss those. Hey, you guys ever played those?
No.
I tried playing a Zelda MMO one time.
Years upon
years ago. I even forget what it was called, but they ended up turning it into their own IP. They used the same tech. They just kind of redrew over a lot of the same assets to make their own little free-to-play MMO out of it.
And I guess that's the silver lining of these things, is that when a fan project gets done by someone who knows what they're doing and is good at making games, they will just use that experience to make their own game out of it. Like a great story that I think I'm glad that I can tell it right now is that there was a fan game, another Mario fan game that got shut down a few years ago that I really, really liked, called Super Mario X. And it had a co-op multiplayer mode that was way less of a clusterfuck than even the official Nintendo New Super Mario Brother co-ops, where when you move far away enough from your friend, it just split the screen down vertically rather than having to construct both of you to the same screen where you end up bouncing off each other all willy-nilly. It had some crazy insane crossover levels with content and sprite from Zelda and Metroid coming in there. There's one where you have a cannon that you pick up and hold with like Super Mario Brothers 2 item grabbing mechanics through Brinstar, like blasting Metroid animals with bullet bills. It was great fun.
Okay.
It was great fun.
Weird.
But the creator ended up making Terraria afterwards.
His
super awesome, great Mario fan game got shut down by the man. He made something super awesome and great by himself that ended up using a lot of the same techniques and tech. Yeah. The thing Super Mario X did great, which was multiplayer side-scrolling that had a whole lot of room for creativity and building and stuff, and included a level editor and stuff. A lot of those features ended up making it into Terraria, and they made a lot of money off of it and brought countless hours of entertainment to millions of people across the internet.
Yeah, I love Terraria. It's a great game.
Who doesn't love Terraria? I miss Terraria.
I think we've probably had this conversation before. I really liked it because it felt like the version of Minecraft that I wanted to play, because Minecraft is more for buildy people, and I like buildy stuff, but Terraria is more for adventure-y people.
Yeah.
Like a successful dungeon run in Terraria feels amazing.
The first time that me and my friends who were playing together got to that far away dungeon where you have to like go inside of this dark brick dungeon and bring your own light, and there's like booby traps everywhere, and there's a giant skeleton with four arms at the end of it.
There's a boss you have to be just to get in there.
Yeah, the time when we got to that, we were just like, "Well, shit!" Like it just felt so like massive. Mm-hmm. It felt like so like important that we were there. I don't know. It was a very, very good, well made game.
Yeah, so I guess there's some like speculative silver lining, because anyone who knows how to remake Mario 64 on Unity should probably use those skills for good in the future.
Yeah.
Okay, next we have Ori and the Blind Forest has been profitable after the first week. Matt is probably going to enjoy hearing this news.
Yes.
This is like one of your favorite games of this year, right?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent. It's always kind of... I guess good to hear about games doing well that
deserve it.
Yeah. Like, because we were talking about Watch Dogs selling well, and we were being like bitter bastards about it. But anyways, this comes to us from a post by one of the developers on NeoGAF. He says, Ori was already profitable a week after release, and Microsoft is super happy. We will see about Ori's future. Smiley face. And the rest of this post just contains some other minor notes about patches and whatnot. But there you go. There's your happy news for today. After Nintendo issuing a fan remake and that after Nintendo issuing a takedown for a fan remake and that being like so familiar that it's just business as usual at this point. Here's some happy news. A game that I guess, you know, it's not also hard to not imagine that the people who make stuff like Ori spend their earlier years making unlicensed fan games. That's how careers start.
I mean, like, I relate video game like creation, like development as an artwork to any other artwork. Most people who are artists don't start off drawing these like very stylized, unique pieces. They trace art from books that they like, and they like draw fan art, and then they like learn how to make their own style.
I know all about what it's like to rip off Red Letter Media for a month and be really bad at it before figuring out what I should be doing with my time instead.
I mean, come on. We're all just ripoffs of AVGN in the end.
I know.
So.
I know. And we can't all be JonTron, can we?
Right.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
No,
here we go. Here we go down this road.
I guess it's easier for me because I don't really have... Well, you're trying to pretend to be her. I don't know.
Which is great. I want to be a girl.
That's true.
I want to be
true.
A girl.
Oh, yeah. Wow, Matt.
I think you need to think about that statement for just
yeah,
a second.
Yeah.
Oh, what would my wife think? Yeah.
Someone's going to make some exploitable YouTube poop out of that comment. They're going to make a song with it.
I want to be a girl. I want to be a girl. Yeah, you can remix that. Yeah.
That's how they go.
Wow, you're just giving them more material.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I would be honored if we got a TOVG podcast YouTube poop. I don't think that's ever going to happen, but that would be hilarious.
It would be.
Well, now you're just asking for it.
I am asking for it. I think that'd be awesome. I'm just saying, like, usually it's more editable stuff that makes it to that, not just a few people talking for an hour.
Right.
So,
well, you never know. We've said some pretty crazy things.
We talked about vomiting for about 10 minutes.
It's just going to be that with a bunch of sound effects.
I think
this
episode
will be used.
I've said.
I don't want it anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to talk about the things I've said. Anyways, we have more news coming from this super professional news discussion video game podcast thing. So if you happen to be an owner of a PlayStation Vita who has purchased the system before June 2012, you are eligible for a class action lawsuit award.
Eligible? I think you mean
eligible. I'm so dry, you guys. I'm just... They just squeezed all the life out of me this week. We have a class action lawsuit that has been... I believe it has been going on for the past few months, maybe years, perhaps. Basically, when they were first launching the Vita in 2012, I believe. It was 2012. Was it 2011?
I remember
the commercial. 2012. They marketed features including... cross-platform gaming, saving, and 3G play, remote... And also remote play, which is a feature people won't stop talking shit about. And you know, they're not coming out with a lot of these features. The FTC has decided that Sony has misrepresented how those features would work, and you can get a reward for it now because they advertised falsely. I'm just all of a sudden having a realization that this makes me really, like, both worried and all of a sudden... remembering how many projects last year, how many games released with features that were either incomplete or promised after launch, like the GTA heists. Mm-hmm. How very close to FTC class action lawsuit rewards is a GTA heist situation where a feature promised on launch ends up coming out a year and a half after launch?
Oof. I don't know, man. That's a weird road that I hope we don't have to go down.
But anyways, if you're eligible, if you've bought a PlayStation Vita before June 2012, which I believe is all you need to be eligible, you can get a $25 check, a $25 PlayStation Store credit, or one of these three game bundles for the PS3 and Vita. They've got... an action-adventure collection with God of War, Beyond Two Souls, if you like Pain, Twisted Metal, and Unity 13. What is Unity 13?
I don't know, but I just realized that you said Beyond Two Souls if you like Pain.
Oh my god, it's a typo on this article. It's for Unit 13, which you guys might not remember. It was an early PlayStation Vita third-person shooter. Anyways.
I love how they're like rewards for like... Yeah, our system didn't live up to the hype, so here's a
$25.
Oh, that is so sad.
Yeah.
Little Big Planet, Uncharted.
Oh, that's a good game, though, Little Big Planet.
Yeah, you could get Little Big Planet out of it. I'm looking over these. Little Big Planet kind of seems like... And maybe God of War Collection. I don't know, include... What does that include?
I think Collection is...
1 and 2.
Oh, it's just 1 and 2?
1 and 2. And that's for the PlayStation 3, too, so this isn't even a Vita thing.
Wait, you know... Okay, that's a big assumption on their part that you own a PS3
just because you own a Vita. They're assuming you own a PS3. If you opt for a game bundle reward,
Right, of course, but that's still like either $25 or some very much like higher priced games that are on a system that you might own.
Maybe.
I mean, like, I guess it's fair to think that someone who owns a Vita owns a PlayStation console, because like that's the only reason to own one as far as I know. But
beyond the features advertised here that they did not release, there are a lot of features that encourage Sony brand loyalty. Like this PlayStation Now thing. Now I have firsthand experience. If you have a PlayStation Now subscription, you get a great bundle of like 5 new free games every month, but only one or two of them will be PS4 games, and the rest will be like on PS3 or Vita.
I remember a time where I was like, oh, should I get a Vita or should I get a 3DS? Years ago.
Well, don't you regret not getting your $25? Well, no, you could get a $25 check, gift card, or game bundle.
Ooh, man.
I know. Man. Instead of the hours of fun that you'll have with Jimmy and not me playing Monster Hunter together, you could go buy a meal.
Make a hot room together. Okay. Hunt some monsters. Take out our weapons.
Roll dodge.
I don't think I've ever heard the term roll dodge used in a sexual context, excuse me, before.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh. I got all the other stuff, but when you said that, I didn't get it.
Yeah. Roll dodge, like rolling to dodge out of the way in Monster Hunter.
But you can also.
But how is that sexual?
I don't know.
I guess you could dodge your partner's rolls or something. I don't know.
I didn't say roll dodge. you know, Wee Man, he's into some stuff, right? He wants to have Smash Night with vomiting and stuff, so.
Yeah, that is.
No,
little...
I don't want to vomit on Smash Nights. I just like smashing.
Whoa. Okay, so. Next story.
Oh boy. So we don't often cover it a lot, but there is always Metal Gear Solid news going on. Like always. Yep. There used to be an official Metal Gear Solid, either monthly or weekly, depending on the time of the year, hour-long podcast video show that the man shut down because of some kind of silly internal feud at Konami. Anyways, but however, this week in Metal Gear Solid news, they have announced a director for the still supposedly upcoming, goddammit, Metal Gear Solid movie. They have Jay Basu writing the script. You guys ever heard of Jay Basu?
No.
No.
You guys ever heard of movies such as The Dinosaur Project, Fast Girls, Monsters, Dark Continent, and Song of Songs?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Guys...
Of course.
Really? I don't believe you.
No, I've never heard of them.
Nope.
You bastards. I can't believe you lied to me about
I can't believe you believed us.
Because you insisted on it for like a whole 30 seconds. Okay, what about the novel, The Stars Can Wait?
Definitely not.
Yeah, me neither. So just like
Song of Songs.
The last novel that I've read in the past like 5 years... was The Call of Cthulhu the other night.
That was a short story.
I know.
The Stars Can Wait.
The Stars Can Wait.
It's not even on Wikipedia, and it's got a 3 out of 5 on Goodreads.
Oh, 3 out of 5. Girls that's like 7 out of 10.
In that is an 82 on Rotten Tomatoes. Set in 1940s Germany occupied Poland, a young Catholic boy enters the secrets of his brother's mysterious life.
That sounds like some heavy shit. That sounds way more heavy than Metal Gear Solid. I guess it depends on which scene of Metal Gear Solid we're talking about. But I'm looking at these movies on Rotten Tomatoes. Dinosaur Project has a awful 31%. Monsters Dark Continent has 21%. Wow. Fast Girls has an 82%.
Huh.
Oh.
So apparently like he's made one decent stars. Movie. The film.
With a name like Fast Girls.
I know. That sounds so much like a name like Metal Gear Solid. The film stars a trio of Britain's hottest young talent. They track the roller coaster journey of a British female sprint relay team and is set to be a feel good film of the summer. That's not what Metal Gear Solid is at all.
So it's one of those movies where the title is like super literal.
Yeah, it's a high concept yeah. film. Like okay. the 40-year-old well, version.
All right, so I'm going to
put this out there. You did the screenplay for that.
I'm always on this middle ground when they get somebody that nobody's ever heard of to like be an important part of an important series adaptation to a movie.
Because that's what always happens every time.
That's what always yeah. happens, but the thing is, like, I would rather it not be like, you know, M. Night Shyamalan to write Metal Gear Solid movie or something.
That would be...
Oh, dude, that would be hilarious, though.
That would be hilarious. Like, this might just right. be bad. At least that would be hilarious.
Right, yeah, but what I'm saying is, true. With someone you yeah. never heard of taking on a series that no one's taken on in this context before, mm-hmm. like, there's potential for something amazing to just, like, bloom out of it. Because if it's, like... If it's like Michael Bay or J.J. Abrams or whatever directing it, then it's like, okay,
Michael Bay.
I am expecting it to be like this.
Right.
But if it's someone you've never heard of, then you're like, well, their work is kind of inconsistent with two terrible movies, a good movie, and a book that I've never heard of. I don't know what to expect. Maybe this will be fun. And then you're going to watch it and you're just going to have fun, probably.
Maybe.
Or you're going to hate
Hopefully.
It.
Hopefully.
But it,
the Silent Hill movie was kind of decent. But I get that's an interesting case where the director stuck more to the video game than he really needed to. And it still ended up good. Like, they used the actual game soundtracks
really?
In the movie. And the critics loved it. They were like, wow, this music's so good. It doesn't sound like movie music. What is this? Oh, it's video game music. And they're like, wow, I'm surprised.
I know it's not Silent Hill, but I just imagined some terrible horror movie scene with...
Oh my gosh.
The basement.
Yeah,
direct.
The basement.
There's a friend of mine who I think did a cover of it. Yeah, Ace Waters.
That cover is better than it needs to be. That cover is too good for any
it's rendition more, of that song is going to be better than it needs to be, because that song is already at the lowest point that song's ever going to be.
But like, that version is actually just like a really good song all on its own.
Ace Waters, Resident Evil basement cover. Look it up.
Also, it has a theremin in it, so like, bonus points for that.
A theremin? Sounds like...
You guys don't know what a theremin
sounds
is?
Sounds like some kind of prescription medicine.
A theremin is the instrument he uses in the intro. It looks like a triangular kind of block, and you put your hand in different positions around it in the air, and it picks it up and turns that into sound.
When I saw that, I was just like, weird triangle thing. You were like, theremin.
Yeah.
It's good to know the names of things.
I guess I'm the only person who knows what a theremin is. All right. Okay.
What? Is this supposed to be common knowledge?
Yes. Theremins are like the meme of the music industry.
Whoa.
It's
a whole new world.
That could be like so many different things. I don't even.
I'm just saying it.
I don't even.
All right. So let's move on from theremin. Speaking of the music industry, Guitar Hero Live was announced.
Great segue, Jimmy. You're right.
Thanks, man.
Guitar Hero Live is kind of weird. They're bringing Guitar Hero back, going in kind of a weird direction with it. It's a first person. The Verge article I'm looking at now bills it as a rock star simulator. But I guess like the one thing that it's an FMV game, which isn't common these days. There's like a little mini FMV resurgence. There was a guy named Tim Follins who made the Silver Surfer music, which is what I loved him for. But a famous game music composer made one recently called Contradiction. I loved Bearstein Grill. I think that was the name. It might not be the actual name of an FMV game that came out last year about busting corrupt cyberpunk future banks of the future recession. That was great fun. It was on the internet though, and it only lasted a day. So I feel really bad about not remembering the exact name. But it had Bear and Stein in it there somewhere. It was supposed to sound like Goldstein, Sachs, something. But anyways, now there's Guitar Hero Live. That is also an FMV game.
Do you get to create your character? Or is just because I see his hand in first person and it's a white guy. What if I want to, can I like Yeah. Do they re-record the whole thing and it's like a black guy's arm the whole time?
Maybe they have to re-record. Maybe they just have a hand floating in front
maybe
of a green
a
screen
guy, or you know,
I mean,
or Asian.
Maybe
guy.
This is just maybe this is just the cynical me coming out, but I feel like they have all those queued up for when they released Rap Group Live.
I would just really love to see a hand customization screen
and run the streets. It has to be. It has to be back when Biggie and Tupac was alive. It has to be.
Yeah,
dude.
And you get to choose like your backstory, and you could choose like either like thief or, I guess probably just thief is what they would include, right?
Is it an
what are you
RPG?
Guys talking about?
We're saying that people are racially racist.
They're racially racist.
With, yeah, well, they're not good with including. Okay. Minorities is what we're saying.
Besides the as of right now unconfirmed possibility of a hand race selection menu, because that's the idea. It's supposed to be first person. You like see a crowd of people holding signs saying "You rock."
It's
like
that's
a little.
The worst.
It seems an undercurrent of like. Patheticness is definitely there because you're looking at a crowd of people who are live. They were paid by some kind of casting or talent agency to stand in a crowd with other people and hold signs that say "You rock" to someone looking at them on a screen holding a plastic guitar. Oh, here's a sign in the trailer that
maybe
says "I love you"
in his underpants, right? Just maybe. Which
so if I ever want to know what it's like having people genuinely appreciate me, I can close my eyes and pretend or play Guitar Hero Live.
Yes. Yeah.
That's
for some
so
reason,
weird.
I just feel like this game announcement is like Rockman 4 was announced, right? Mm-hmm. And that I'm like excited
and
about.
They're like, we gotta get our shit together and compete.
Yeah. And then like Harmonix or whoever the fuck is working on Guitar Hero is like
game.
let's combat this with a wildly left field move. It'll be great. And then they like chose FMV game and everyone who knows anything is like, it's not the best.
They changed the guitar layout.
To what?
There are more buttons.
That's not necessarily a good thing.
Sometimes you have to hold down the bottom of the guitar instead of the top.
Oh, they did that in Guitar Hero World Tour or whatever the fuck it was.
Well, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about because I haven't played any of these games since like 2008.
The one where they tried to directly compete with Rock Band, they had the like bottom frets that are near like the very end of the guitar. And then they had the high frets, which were closer together, but they weren't buttons. They were like touch pads. So you can like slide your finger up and down them. And it actually made the game a snooze fest because when you get into a solo and it allows you to use that, you just like face roll on that part of the thing and you get 100%. It was pretty bad. I hope I'm not excited for Guitar Hero Live is what I'm saying.
The guitar controller is a grid now.
Grid.
It's like a
guitar.
It is like, somewhat like a 3x2 vertical grid.
Oh no!
Complications.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. I don't know. I don't really.
I'm probably not going to play it, to be honest.
Yeah, I might at a friend's house who bought it and not me. But
right.
That sounds like a place where I'd play.
Yeah,
it,
yeah. That's how I always play these games anyway.
I bought Rock Band and I bought Guitar Hero, like two and three were the ones I bought, and then Rock Band 2 and 3 as well. Those were really good, and I like those a lot. But
I still have them.
I never got into those games.
I don't know.
I played Real Instruments.
Oh, okay.
some elitists here.
I mean, really, though, really just... It's just, I don't know.
When I was a kid, I tried to play the saxophone because I thought Bill Clinton was cool.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was really
Trent
bad
Reznor
at it.
Trent Reznor plays the saxophone.
Well, I didn't know that when I was a kid.
That's probably good. I don't think he was clean when you were a kid.
Is he clean now?
Now he is, yeah.
I didn't know that.
And now everyone hates his music.
I mean...
You can only stay good for so many decades.
It's like...
He is the mainstream of industrial.
For getting clean.
Well, but, okay. That, yeah. If they are non-connected things, then there's no reason to hate his music. But are people saying like, oh, he's clean, so his music isn't
good
anymore?
No, they're just like, your music was better when you were on drugs, man.
Come back to drugs.
Oh, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah, that is. It's terrible.
Okay, there's one last news story that I want to go over, and it's something I'm personally excited about. I don't know about you guys. Fatal Frame, the Wii U one that I don't think has an official name yet, is going to have a Western release, which is good because those are like super duper Japanese games.
Yeah,
that was originally the slate too, was only Japan.
Yeah, but also that game is like a great game that looks built for the Wii U very well, and so maybe people will figure out that the Wii U is cool.
In Fatal Frame, you scan things with a camera your character holds. It's that's how it's worked since like 2002, and now the controller would work great for that. Like Zombie U had a similar feature where you scanned with a little scanner on a little screen that you held in your hands. It was very immersive. I'm going to have to buy a new gamepad, actually, because the motion calibration thing and that thing is borked on me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Never heard that before.
But yeah, I'm really, really excited because a lot of reasons. Like, on top of having something cool to play on the Wii U that might be made for the Wii U, Japanese horror game.
Yeah.
Like actual budgeted Japanese horror game from a prolific and long established Japanese studio, because the other possibility we have for that is in much more murkier waters now. And Silent Hills. No one knows what the hell to make of any Konami projects right now, really. It's not. Don't get your hopes up. But do get your hopes up for Fatal Frame Wii U coming out to the West in some undisclosed time. It's something to do, I guess.
Yeah. This was good news, and you made me sad about Silent Hills, so.
I'm sorry. You can also be happy that thousands of PlayStation Vita owners can cash their $25 check for false advertising. That's good news.
Hooray.
Ah, this game looks good too. I was running the trailer in the background while talking about it, and it looks like an actual game, which is like fine, good enough for me.
Wow,
it has flashlight effects in a dark forest.
I hope that's the I hope that's like the blurb on the box for Fatal Frame Wii U American release. Quote,
American
looks
release.
Like an actual game. Quote. Yeah.
What if it's actually called Fatal Frame : Wii U : for America?
Oh gosh.
Or you can just shorten that up to Fatal Frame America.
From America.
From America.
From America, fuck yeah.
Fatal Frame US.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
Get it?
You sell the Wii U.
Fatal Frame US.
Yeah, because Wii U for Wii U, but also US.
Oh,
and also because new Nintendo games always have like just flat out descriptions as their game name.
Fatal Frame, the new one. But new is spelled NU.
I still can't believe that Smash Brothers is just called Smash Brothers for Wii U. I did not pick up on the pun until like a week after owning it.
The pun is so good. It's so subtle.
It's some Jimmy levels of pun there.
It's great. It's like they put like a Twitch Kappa face after that on the box, and they decided that was too much and took it off.
And just left it at 4.
Yeah. For those of you who don't get it, Super Smash Brothers 4.
It's the 4th Super Smash Brothers.
4. Number 4. Yeah. Good on you, Nintendo.
So, I think
we gotta get something right.
I like that. That's cute.
Jimmy, how are we doing on the forum migrations?
It's happening.
Is it happening soon?
It's happening when it happens.
Oh,
time
okay.
to say terrible stuff on the forums before they go blow. I mean, boom.
Blow.
Blow.
What are you talking about? Their forums have been gone for like 2 weeks, dude.
Well, we've also saved up some previous ones that we will go over very briefly. GTTTTT asks, George, can I buy your Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess from GameCube for you? I'd rather not. I want to keep a hold of that thing. It's supposed to be kind of rare. They didn't actually make a lot of copies of the GameCube version. They masked out the Wii one instead. That's what they were banking on. I, at the time, had a GameCube and not a Wii. Although now that I'm thinking about it, when did I mention that I have the Twilight Princess for GameCube version?
I'm just going to assume that it was in one of your older videos.
I don't
and
remember
they were
this.
Watching that.
Maybe he like looked through my window or something. But no, whatever. I'm still because I'm going to like play it someday. I might like, I don't know. I've always wanted to load it up into Dolphin and see what it looks like in HD. And apparently you can do that with the disc, like their disc ripping methods.
Yeah. I actually have Twilight Princess for GameCube as well.
Oh, cool, cool.
It's one of the three GameCube games that I still own because a friend bought it for me for like Christmas or something.
At the time, it was reviewed as the better version. Well,
yeah, because you didn't have to deal with the controls.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Wii controls weren't good back then.
I mean, they never really got
I really enjoyed playing Metroid, though, on the Wii. With the pointer.
That's true. I still haven't played that
game. To be fair, any
first-person
shooter is going to work better than a third-person slasher.
Yeah.
Which, they tried that with Skyward Sword, and I still have yet to play that game in my life.
You know, I've heard a lot about the controls being terrible. Mm-hmm. I've also heard so much about Skyward Sword just handling flawlessly. So I have to play it eventually
for
myself.
Maybe it depends on what your room looks like. Maybe what depends on where you're sitting. There are all sorts of unknown factors that can mess with the motion game.
Yeah.
So let's see. He also asks, why don't you have a Patreon? My answer is, I don't know. There's like some backlash you got to put up with that. I don't really know if I want to go that route until I need it. Like maybe there's some kind of medical emergency. If I have some kind of issues with cars or whatnot. Until then, I'll just ride the ad revenue. He asks, Matt, how's life? How's life, Matt?
Oh, life is life.
Life
is like
life.
A box of chocolates.
Life
never
is
know
life.
What you're gonna get.
Death is death.
Death
we
is
are
death.
All just
We're
leaves
gonna
in the wind.
We're gonna all die someday. Let's depress everyone.
Oh,
actually, I don't know why this reminded me of this, but George, I have to ask you my own community question right now. Have you played 8 Mewtwos fighting on top of a bunch of penises with while Live and Learn plays in the background yet?
I have not.
What?
I have not bought the DLC. It's $5, right?
It's okay, that's right. You don't have the 3DS version.
Right, which means that if
so you don't even get it until the 27th.
Oh my god. You're just rubbing it in. Rubbing the 3DS privilege in my face
hard.
Yeah,
I also got Mewtwo free.
Come on.
Just wanted to add there.
Yeah. Oh my god, you guys. I can't have one victory, can I?
I just needed to remind you so that you don't forget to keep the dream alive.
But when
I need to see a screenshot of that happening.
When I am able, I will play 8 Mewtwos fighting each other on top of a pile of dicks while Live and Learn plays. Well, except actually now that I think about it, you cannot do 8 player Smash on a custom stage, can you? And they do not have Live and Learn on the soundtrack list, do they?
That guy fucked up.
Huh. Yeah, everything he said, worst tweet ever. Oh, I'm sorry, Kite, are you in on the joke?
No, I was trying to figure out which character is supposed to be the phallic symbol.
No,
it was the stage creator
that
you can
draw. When the Nintendo Direct... There was an excellent Nintendo Direct presentation a few months ago, way before Smash came out. Well, actually, like a month before Smash came out. Not too long before Smash came out. But they announced all of these features at once. The stage creator, Mewtwo DLC character, and that you could pick from a list of Sonic music soundtracks to be in the background of your stage. And so some guy... Or a girl, someone on the internet just made a tweet that said, "The future is now. 8 Mewtwos fighting on top of a pile of dicks while Live and Learn plays in the background."
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
And now we realize that he's a fraud, and that's, should, or he or she is a fraud.
We should get rewards for false advertising from an FTC class action lawsuit.
Where's my $25 check and or God of War Collector's Edition? Yeah.
Collector's Edition? Collection, I don't know. Downloadables. Oh, jeez.
Nice.
Anyways.
We got one, I guess, GTTT continues on to ask, Jimmy, what is the heaviest metal you listen to? Can you recommend an album?
The heaviest, the by far heaviest is a tie between two bands. One of them being Whitechapel and the other being Suicide Silence. These are deathcore bands, not traditional metal, so any like Metallica fans are not going to be super impressed, but that's the kind of metal that I grew up on and that I like a lot. It's very rhythmic and very heavy and very chugging, and I like that kind of stuff. Chugging. Like
is that like what the onomatopoeia is? Chug. So you say chugging?
I think the actual onomatopoeia for that is gent.
Really?
D-J-E-N-T. Yeah.
Huh.
Gent.
Is that American?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. But, and then an album that I would recommend for Whitechapel, This Is Exile, I think is the album. For Suicide Silence, actually, I don't know any of their album titles.
Suicide Silence? Forever.
They're a really, really good band. If you're into that kind of music,
metal,
they're really good.
The metal names are just great, dude.
They're the best.
I mean, like, I'm not gonna give them creativity points for their name, but their band is very talented. Actual album I would recommend for deathcore that's really good that I really like is Deep Blue by Parkway Drive, and I'm gonna end that there.
Okay. And with that, I'm afraid we have to wrap up for this week. We went on pretty long. We got more questions coming up next week. Hopefully more news too, even though this week we kind of had to catch up on two weeks worth. But keep an eye out for it. Keep an eye out if you have a PlayStation Vita for your $25 class action check. Don't spend it all at once, even though it might be hard not to. You know, with $25, you couldn't buy like a used PS3 or PSP with that, could you?
I mean, like for $25, you can't even get like maybe you can get like a used NES.
You might be able to get a used Wii.
Zing.
There's some good games on the Wii.
There's some.
Like Xenoblade. The vast minority of Wii games are good, but they exist.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, like I said, we're going to wrap up. Be sure to rate us 5 stars on iTunes. Tune in next week. Share us around with your friends and your family and your loved ones. You know, if you have an awkward family reunion, if you're sitting around the fire at a Christmas, if you're visiting your mother for Mother's Day, give them the gift of the TOVG podcast.
Right. If you're visiting your sea cult worshiping relatives that you left long ago for an awkward family reunion, just hit them up with the TOVG podcast. They'll love it.
Absolutely.
Oh my god, I can't wait.
Tried to bring it full circle.
Like someone might actually do it, and they might write us a story about it, and we might have to talk about it.
We can only hope.
Until then, we'll just keep hoping.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Have a pleasant week.
Bye. Bye-bye.